Joshua chapter 23 and Joshua 24. And from the initial verses from chapter 23, we discovered that Joshua was giving a farewell address to the prominent leaders of the nation. As we engage the text, we recognize Joshua was now 110 years old, and he no doubt was looking back down the corridor of time, assessing his years of life on earth, how he had spent them, as well as reflecting upon the progress that Israel had made in his, from the time that he had spent his 40 years about in slavery in Egypt, and then 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and then in his last 30 years spent conquering the land, dividing the land, and living in the promised land. Now just stop and think for a moment as you think about where Israel was when Joshua was born in Egypt, all the things that he saw in relationship to the miracles God performed against Pharaoh, the parting of the Red Sea, the journey to Kadesh Barnea, the water coming from the rock, the bitter waters made sweet, all those things that he saw. And then as they wandered through the wilderness, how they witnessed the marvelous hand of God. And even though they were under a time of chastisement, the manna from heaven and shoes that never wore out and clothes that never wore out and the way in which God provided for the nation over and over and over again. And then to lead the nation of Israel in the conquest of the land and seeing going across the Jordan River on dry land and the falling of the walls of Jericho and the sun's standing still, and man, this guy saw a lot of stuff that God did, miraculous stuff that God did. And I couldn't help but think that as Joshua reflected on his years on earth, that he was content and pleased with how things worked out for him in serving the Lord. No doubt he faced a lot of tough moments. No doubt there were a lot of difficult situations, and even some very sad experiences that he had to negotiate in life. But all of these things, all of these negatives were trumped by his faithfulness to the Lord and his intimate walk with God. To me, as I thought about Joshua's life, I couldn't help but feel there was peace in his spirit, satisfaction in his soul, joy in his heart, as he was soon to bid this earthly life farewell. It must have been an awesome feeling for Joshua to come to the end of his days on earth with few regrets and countless joys with a walk well done with God. Is this not truly something beautiful and wonderful to be able to look back down the corridor of time as you near your life's end, as you finish your journey on earth, to know you have done well in loving and serving your Lord? I know I desire this for my life. Is this the passion you have for your life? To know that as you approach the final days on earth, to know that you have lived well for the Lord. Knowing you have fought the good fight, knowing that you've walked in the works marked out beforehand, that you should walk in them. So let's be honest. We are all going to face that final day upon this earth. Barring the rapture, none of us get out of this place alive, folks. And so we'll all come to that final moment. What will you be looking back down the corridor of time of your life and seeing? Satisfied with what you've done for the Lord? Satisfied with the walk that you've had? Or disappointed? Joshua, as the elder statesman of the nation, and in his final address, sought to reach across the generation gap to remind the nation that Elohim Jehovah is their God. Jehovah sought to inspire all the people to worship Elohim, who is the strongest of strong ones, the highest in strength, the one who has the power to fulfill every promise he made and satisfy every covenant he has established and execute every judgment he has ordained. Joshua sought to encourage the people to bow humbly before Jehovah Yahweh, the holy self-existent eternal God who is dependent on no one and nothing for his existence. Remember, it is Jehovah who loves sinners and seeks to rescue them. So Joshua's heart was as he wanted to help Israel remember. It was Elohim, Jehovah, that brought them into the promised land and gave them ownership of the promised land. Joshua wanted Israel to remember they were not victors in their own strength, by their own power. They are in the promised land by God's choice, through God's power, because God loves his people. Joshua's mission in the final days that he had upon the earth was to remind all the nation of Israel who and what their God is and what their God had done for them. It says in Joshua 23:3, "And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For your Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you." You see, the victory of the promised land wasn't by human power and strength. And Joshua wanted the nation of Israel to recognize and appreciate the gift of the promised land. He did not want them to become arrogant and self-centered and distant from God. Joshua did not want the nation to take the gift of the land for granted. Did not want them to abuse the gift for selfish purposes. And perhaps, child of God, this is a question we need to ask ourselves. Do we take the gift of our salvation for granted? Do we take the fact that we are the children of God for granted? Do we take his word for granted? Do we take the indwelling Holy Spirit in our life for granted? Or are we still awed? Are we still awed by God? Are we still surrendered to his will? Now, as we concluded the message a couple weeks ago, I challenged you then that Joshua, the elder statesman, exhorted Israel that in a way that he wanted to inspire the nation to continue in faithfulness and thankfulness while imparting divine wisdom upon the younger generation on how to continue that walk with God. He sought to help the younger generation, the future generation, to step up and stand up for God and to walk well with God. He wanted to inspire those who inherited the promised land to finish the task of driving out the remaining enemy out of the land. From Joshua's example, we are reminded we too should be about our Father's business and preparing our young men and women, our children and our grandchildren, to walk well with God in the future. You know, as I gave consideration to verse 3, I thought about Joshua exhorting the nation of Israel to step up and to eradicate the remaining enemy out of the land. And I couldn't help to think this thought. You realize that every generation has a spiritual battle to face. Every generation has a spiritual battle to face. No generation in the history of mankind has been safe from the wiles of the devil. Every generation, every Christ follower is under the relentless attack of the evil one. This devil is the one that fell from heaven, Isaiah 14, 13, and 14. He is full of pompous pride, arrogance, and ego. and he does not rest from his dastardly deeds. Evil is his way, and he seeks to infiltrate every person with his evil. So parents and grandparents, understand this. Because the devil does not rest, we must be diligent to protect our children from the evil one while also preparing and equipping our children to stand on their own two feet for Jesus. You know, one day our kids, one day our grandkids will face the world on their own, making their own decisions. We are not going to be there to make the decisions for them or to help them in those decisions. We must not be deceived. The devil is not going to give our kids or our grandkids a break just because we love them so much. The devil has an appetite for the souls of every child and every grandchild. The devil is dedicated and determined, seeking them out to destroy their love and life for God. 1 Peter 5:8. The devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour. Therefore, we need to take seriously the need to train up our children how to take full ownership of their lives in the name of Jesus, as they will face a ruthless, lying, and conniving enemy who is dedicated to hating God and seeking to take captive everything and everyone, and he wants them forever for his good pleasure. The devil loves rebellion against God. So let us learn this lesson. Just because Israel was in the promised land didn't mean the devil was done pursuing them as a nation. He didn't decide to just leave them alone because they were now in the promised land. He continued to seek to destroy the people of God. And this should help us understand that just because we are in the family of God doesn't mean the devil's going to leave us alone either. We must remember the evil one seeks to leave his hideous mark on every generation. And he seeks to stamp his image in the heart of every kid and every grandkid. He is playing for keeps. Therefore, we must prepare ourselves and our offspring to fight the good fight. This means dads and moms, granddads and grandmas, we are to be faithful in our commitment to pray for, to guide, to train, to teach our kids and grandkids on how to love God well. We must help our children to see how to honor God with their lives. We must equip children and grandchildren for spiritual battle. For surely the evil one is going to bring the spiritual battle to their doorstep. And then, let me make mention of something here. Sometimes, parents or grandparents may be estranged from their children or grandchildren due to the difficulties and circumstances in their life. But I want you to know, if you're in that situation and you feel a sense of helplessness and hopelessness in regard to your children or your grandchildren who you might be separated from for whatever reason, there is a divine door open to you. And that divine door is prayer. Remember, the throne room of God is where God's power is accessed. And at that, where that supernatural power is accessed of God, as we enter into the throne room, we can seek God's face, that He would release that power supernaturally in the lives of our children and grandchildren while we are yet distant from them. See, we sometimes think that we are the only person that can influence the children or grandchildren that we might be separated from. But do you realize that God has a whole family out there called the family of God that He can use in our stead to touch the lives of children and grandchildren that we might be separated from? I oftentimes thought how Sunday school teachers or youth workers or children ministry personnel, godly friends who love the Lord, that God can use them to answer our prayers for our children and our grandchildren by God strategically bringing in part of His family that we don't even know to minister in their lives. So don't lose hope. Bend that knee at the throne of grace, access the supernatural power of God, and ask Him to release it on the children and the grandchildren. Where you feel like there is hopelessness, grab hold of the hope that our God is God. He's Elohim. He's Jehovah. And it is Jehovah who loves and rescues sinners. I worked in children's ministry. I've worked in youth ministry, and I've dealt with children and young people who the only time that they had ever heard the name of God prior to coming in and being influenced by some of the people in the ministry that I was involved with or directly involved with in the ministry was the only time they ever heard the name of God when it was used as a cuss word. And yet God was able to intersect their lives, and they accepted Christ as their Savior. You know what? Some of those youthies that I had when I was back doing youth pastor work, who had come from non-believing homes, they went on to Bible college. Some of them are in the ministry today as pastors, as missionaries, as pastors' wives, and serving in local churches and making a difference. So see, God has a big family. And so it is okay for us to call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him to release some of His family members to minister to the ones that we love. And you know what else? As we think about our role upon this earth, that we too can be the fingerprints of God, the answer to some mom or dad's prayer, the answer to some grandma or grandpa's prayer, that their child, that their teenager would be touched with the gospel. We can be that answer to their prayer. And so it is good for us to walk well with God, because He's doing a lot of things in a lot of ways and with different people, and we have opportunity to be one of those people that God wants to use to be the answer to some grandma or grandpa or mom or dad's prayer. We have that calling. So call upon the name of the Lord. Don't get discouraged. Don't be defeated. We are calling upon the name of sovereignty to do sovereign things. In Joshua 23:3, and you have seen that the Lord your God had done all these things to the nations because of you, for the Lord your God is He who has been fighting for you. This is the first thing that we can do to teach and train our children, to help them to recognize the power of God in their lives. We need to plant the seed of faith and gratitude in the heart of our children, parents, grandparents. What you have, what you own, is God's divine provision for you. You may work, but God brings forth the harvest. How do you and your family members, how does your family members see Jesus living in you? Now, Joshua's address to the nation was to call them to faithfulness to the Lord. He wanted to remind them of the roots, and what Joshua was doing with the nation was counting the many blessings that God had brought to the nation. Today we sang the song. A friend of mine who was one of my mentors who's gone on to be with the Lord, he would often refer to this kind of hymn as a grand old hymn. You know, count your many blessings. Gratitude for what God has done can be food for our soul and a challenge to our heart. Church, we need to be calling out and celebrating the blessings of God in our life. To count our many blessings is a good way to remind us that God has, is, and will always be our God, that He is never going to leave us and He never will forsake us. God is your Elohim. God is your Jehovah. And counting the blessings of what God has done for you in the past, it'll help you to have spiritual courage in the future. It will help your children to see God's faithfulness to your family as well. With Thanksgiving coming up, I'm feeling a bit risky. And I want to take a risk next Sunday. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Rather than me or Pastor Steve preaching a message on why we should give thanks to the Lord, I challenge you, the body of Christ, to come prepared next week to share a blessing that God has given to you. That we as a church will come together and through a time of public testimony before each other, that we would count the blessings that God has done. So I'm going to do something that's really hard for me. I'm going to prepare a sermonette, a mini sermon. Now, I bet you didn't know I knew that term, did you? Sermonette, mini sermon. That's probably shocking to you that I know that term. And I'm going to focus a little bit on the theme of Thanksgiving. Then the close at the mini sermon, we will spend some time with an open floor mic, giving you an opportunity to share a testimony, to count the blessing that God has given you, to testify it before the body of Christ, so that we together can celebrate with you what good things God has done. I can't think of any better application of Thanksgiving than returning to our Father to give Him thanks. So the mission is this, if you choose to accept it, is Corporate Thanksgiving Sunday. Let us praise the Lord for His love, goodness, and faithfulness. Let us count His blessings, how He has blessed our lives. Now moving back to Joshua 23, verse 4. See, I with all the nations which I have cut off, from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. See, the Lord cut off all the nations. And you know what that reminds me of? Have you ever heard the saying, the proof is in the pudding? The idiom, the proof is in the pudding, means the outcome. The finished product validates the veracity or truth of what has been said. It means the finished product speaks for itself as proof of a fact. In this case, Joshua pointed out to the nation of Israel, you can know that God has been fighting for you by looking at the results. And the results are this: I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribe. You know what? You can know that God has been fighting for you because the proof is in the pudding. You own the land. You inhabit the land. You have divided and conquered the land. The proof is in the pudding that God has been fighting for you, that God has been expressing his love to you. You can see it in the results of what God does. And we can know the proof is in the pudding too, that God loves us because he sent his only begotten Son to this earth to die for our sin and to give us eternal life. The proof of God's love is in the pudding. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. As you can imagine, the promised land, land flowing with milk and honey, was a very valuable land, a very productive land. Therefore, we can surmise that the promised land was inhabited by the strongest and the mightiest and the most powerful kings and kingdoms. The reason Israel now owned the land is because God fought for them. Without the power of God, Joshua tells the nation, basically, you would have been destroyed by those powerful inhabitants of the land. Bet God fought for you. And the proof is in that the land now belongs to you. Now in verse 5, something that caught my attention, and remember the context of Joshua 23 and 24 is Joshua, the elder statesman, the leader of the nation. He's 110 years old, soon to die. But notice what he says. Verse 5, the Lord your God will thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. Joshua, after pointing out what the Lord had done, now alerts the next generation, those who will be alive after he is dead, that they will have their own good fight to fight. Every generation has a good fight to fight. Every generation, as the devil opposes them, will have a fight to fight. Every generation has the works that God prepared beforehand that they should walk in them. Joshua's exhortation to the nation is then, you need to continue in faithfulness with the Lord. Something we need to come to terms with is great men and great women who serve God as great leaders come and go on earth. However, God's plan for humanity is forever. Think about this. Moses died. Joshua died. And more modern times, Billy Graham died. There have been family patriarchs who have established the pattern that have died. Throughout history, people have given their lives for the gospel. And so the result is this. In this next generation, people are called to fill the gap. In this generation, people are called to fill the gap. And you know what? In this church, people are called to fill the gap. And you know what? In your family, people are called to fill the gap. And just as the nation of Israel had a future in the younger generation, as Joshua died and the judges were to come behind him, they would need to fill the gap. Are we filling the gaps that God has called us to fill? Are we preparing our kids and grandkids to be the future leaders of the next generation? Are we preparing and equipping them for victory? Joshua 23, 6 through 9. Be very firm then to keep all that you do that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with the nations. These which remain among you, or mention the names of their God, or make anyone swear by them, or swear or serve them, or bow down to them, but you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done this day. Joshua's message was pretty clear. It implies that God blesses a nation and God blesses the people based upon how well the people walk with Him. Joshua reminds the nation of their responsibility as the children of God. It seems the only clear path to the nation possessing full ownership of the land was associated with the obedience of the people to the Lord. This message from Joshua 23, 6 through 9 certainly parallels the message that Joshua received and gave to the nation in Joshua 1, 4 through 8. Let me read that for you. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river of the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I've sworn to their fathers. Give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now, without going back to re-preach that message, I want to point out the condition associated with God's blessing never changes from one generation to the next. The full ownership of the promised land would be based upon the faithfulness of the nation, that they would not turn from the right or the left. Interestingly, each generation has the same call to faithfulness. Moses called his generation to faithfulness. Joshua called his generation to faithfulness. The judges called their generation to faithfulness. But sadly, Israel lost their grip on God. And thus, the future of the promised land, owning the entire land, still remains a future event because they lost their grip on God. Have you lost your grip on God? Have you allowed your feet to slip and to slide and to stumble? In Joshua's exhortation to the nation, he points out, as we, or I guess as I have done regarding the Lord so too often, that when we're, in Joshua's exhortation, he pointed out that I have done regarding to the Lord, so too you shall do for the Lord. Joshua was saying, follow my example. As I have done, so you too do. Let me ask you a question. If your kids and grandkids followed the Lord according to the standard and example you have set, would you rejoice? If your kids and your grandkids followed the Lord according to the standard that you set, would that make you happy? In verse 7, Joshua instructs the next generation with a warning. This warning frames the essence of the greatest challenge the nation would perpetually face in their future. So that you will not associate with these nations. these which remain among you, or mention the names of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them, but you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done this day. Joshua sets forth two challenges. First, do not associate with the heathen nations, their gods, their worship practices. Do not embrace their corrupt and vile values, which are an abomination to the Lord. Don't let that happen in your lives. And second, pursue. Cling to the Lord your God. Glue yourself to and pursue God with the intent of joining yourself together with His will and His way. Just two things the Israelites need to do. Forsake the world, cling to God. Where have we heard that before? I think Pastor Steve took us through the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Just two things. Resist the evil. Cling to the Lord. It would seem to be a foolish decision for Israel to join themselves together with the false gods of the enemy Israel had just defeated in the land. It seems simple and obvious. Why embrace the sinful ways of that which brought destruction upon your enemy? It says in verses 9 and 10, for the Lord has driven out great and strong nations before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is the one who fights for you, just as he promised you. So why in the world would you want to go and worship one of those false gods? When you see what God has done, when you recount and count your blessings, and you see his power and his blessing upon you, why would you ever consider of going the way of the pagan? How foolish to join the ranks of a defeated enemy, mingle together with the heathens. To do so would result in the removing of God's blessing upon the nation. Joshua says, so take diligent heed to yourself to love the Lord your God. An emphatic warning here, take diligent heed. Take exceeding abundant care to guard your heart. To guard your love for God. Why would Joshua, I ask, place such an exhortation before the people? Maybe it's because the words we sang today are very true about our human nature. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Temptation to sin against God is real. Temptation to go back to the place where the flesh held us in bondage is real. Living for Jesus is spiritual warfare, hard, difficult at times, but it is worthwhile. It is worthwhile. Are we standing on the promises of God or just giving lip service to the promises of God? The call of the songwriter reiterates the instruction of Joshua. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Be diligent to heed yourself, to cling to the love of the Lord. Church, as it was in the day of Joshua, so it is in the 21st century church. The sin nature is still a wicked influence in our lives that attracts us or seeks to attract us with the glitz and the glitter of the world. As Joshua warned Israel, so the word of God warns us and exhorts us as the children of God. On the back of your bulletin, you have a choice, two scriptures. James 4:4, you adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. We can choose that path. We can choose that route. It's an option that is ours. Or, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Choose you this morning, which you will serve, the former or the latter. God's warning to Israel was this: for if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you will be associated with them, and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides, and a thorn in your eyes, until you perish off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. The devil seeks to steal the joy of the Lord from you. He seeks to steal your peace with God from you. Every generation has its battle to face. Every person has their battle to face. How's the battle going? Let me close with this. One of the parallel passages in the New Testament for the children, children of God during this age is Romans 13, 11 through 14. It says this: do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Question to you: are you clothed in Jesus today? How's the walk going? Every generation has its battle. The devil is an enemy that won't go away. He's after your kids. He's after your grandkids. And he's after you. He's after you. Do you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord today? Do you need to just take some time and say, you know, I've gotten a little bit busy in life and I've neglected my walk with the Lord. I've been discouraged about some things in my life and I've been neglecting some things, Lord. I've been so upset about not having the influence in the places that I want to have influence, but now I see that I can go to the throne room of grace and release the whole family of God on those people that I love, because God has a whole army of people that can influence for His kingdom. And as you are here today, are you willing to accept the challenge that you may be God's fingerprint to be used in somebody else's grandchild's life, child of a parent, teenager, or adult? There is reason and purpose for why we have the breath of life today. Let's pray, and we're just going to take a time to just have a moment of silent prayer, just a time for you to have a conversation with God about where you are in your walk with Him, to lift up maybe some people in your life that you would like to bring to the throne of grace today, and that you want to access God's supernatural power on their behalf and ask God to bring the right people into their lives. Maybe today you just need to take some moments to count the blessings in order to help you to have spiritual courage in the battle that you're now facing. Take a moment to pray. Father, as I hear the voices of the children in the background, I remember how precious they are to you and how Jesus loves the little children of the world. And as I hear their voices, it reminds me, Lord, of the mission that you have called us to, an ambassadorship that you have given, a commission that you have called us to. And I would ask, Lord, that you would help us in this journey to be your fingerprints in the places that you would have us live our lives. And I pray for those that are here brokenhearted today because for some reason they may not have the connection with children or grandchildren that they'd like to have, that you would ease their burden by bringing your peace to them as they understand that you have a whole army of people out there, a whole family of God that loves you and are about the Father's business in communities and states and throughout the world, and that hope is not lost because you have noticed those that we are praying for and that you will bring the light to them. We ask, Lord, that you would simply just fill us with your Spirit this day as we yield our lives to you. May all be done for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you as you walk with the Lord this week.